Welcome to Wit Beyond Measure. My name's Katrina Mayer.
And I'm Elle Kammerer.
And today we are talking about chapters 44 through 48 of Emma.
Indeed, some business happens.
Business.
Seriously. We finally understand Frank Churchill a little bit.
I mean, do we? He's still an enigma to me, but stuff happens and yeah.
I don't think he's an enigma.
I do. He's weird.
Okay, we'll have that discussion.
Okay.
We'll have that discussion.
Okay. Okay.
But first, I think you need to tell everybody what happens in the rest of it, because it's
yes.
Sadly, this is not just all about Frank Churchill.
No, there's things that happen. Mm-hmm. Full disclosure, I may have spaced out a little bit toward the end of my reading, so probably left a lot of stuff out. But here's what I do remember.
Hashtag honesty.
So Emma tries to be nicer to Miss Bates because she was really mean to Miss Bates. And she does this by going over to her house and is just going to sit with her and talk to her and try to be a better friend and neighbor. But she still doesn't apologize for what she did, and I have a problem with that. It's like, mm-hmm. I know I did something wrong, and I'm just going to, be sneaky about apologizing, a.k.a. I'm not going to apologize at all and just automatically start being nicer to you. It's like, okay, whatever. So while she's there, Miss Bates is, telling her all this stuff. And the big thing she says is Jane accepted a governess job that Mrs. Elton found for her. And Emma's like, whoa, that is big news. I mean, the Campbells haven't even come back. You know, her friend Mrs. Dixon haven't even come back. And she's just going to go off and, do this without them coming back from Ireland. And that's basically what Jane wants to do. But also she's sick. She has a headache. She doesn't want to see anybody. So don't ask to see her. Stop asking about seeing her. She has a headache. And she's getting a governess job. But she also has a headache. Don't forget she has a headache. She has a headache. All right. So then after that, Emma is like, okay, maybe I need to be nicer to Jane. Poor thing is sick. Poor thing has to go work. That's just terrible. I'm going to be nicer to Jane. I'm going to be a better friend. But Jane wants nothing to do with Emma. She avoids her at all costs. She won't go out in the carriage with her. Emma even sends her over, some food to, make her feel better. And it gets sent back. And it's like, this is weird. Even weird for Jane Fairfax is basically what Emma is saying. Something's wrong. She hates me. I've not been a good friend to her, essentially. Then we find out that, gasp, Mrs. Churchill has died. And Katrina felt guilty reading that part because she was kind of mean to Mrs. Churchill in the beginning. Because I thought she had a fake illness and just used it to get Frank to come back home to make him miserable. But really, she was legit sick and then she died. So that was really sad. Then Mr. Weston comes by Hartfield and is like, hey, Emma, you need to come over to Randall's ASAP. Mrs. Weston has something to tell you. Hurry up. And Emma's like, oh my God, who died? Who died? Somebody clearly died. And he's like, no one died. And she's like, just tell me. And it's like, no, Mrs. Weston's going to tell you. He's like, no, you need to tell me who died. He's like, no one died. And they're having this conversation back and forth. And it's just like, oh my God, Mr. Weston, if you had just been like, oh, Mrs. Weston wants to have tea with you and da 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 da, and not come over all gloom and doom, you would have been there by now. Anyway, that's what I was thinking while they were having that big, long conversation. So they finally get to Randall's. Mr. Weston leaves the ladies alone, and Mrs. Weston is like, oh my God, I feel so bad. I was like, what? She's like, Frank and Jane are engaged, but not just now. They've been secretly engaged since October, and everyone is all surprised except for Elle. Who called this shit? So yes, so that happens. And essentially the reasoning, oh, never mind. You know what? Forget it. We'll talk about that part later. Emma's back home and she's like, oh crap, now I gotta tell Harriet that Frank's engaged to Jane. I've fucked up Harriet's life all over again. This is Mr. Elton all over again. And Harriet comes over and Emma's like, oh my gosh, Harriet, I have some kind of bad news. And Harriet's like, what? Oh my gosh, wait, before you tell me, guess what? Jane Fairfax and Frank Churchill are engaged. And she's like, what? I know. Why are you not sad? And she's like, why would I be sad? I don't like him. She's like, of course you do. We talked about it. And she's like, no, I wasn't talking about Frank Churchill. I was talking about how I really like, and I think he likes me, Mr. Knightley. And Emma's like, what? Excuse me? You and Mr. What? No, 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 no. And he's like, yes. And it's thanks to you, Emma, you made me believe that perhaps somebody like Mr. Knightley could really like somebody like me. And Emma is finally realizing that she has created a monster and she is super miserable. And it's essentially because she wants Knightley, or at the very least, she wants to be Mr. Knightley's favorite. Like, I'm still not convinced that she loves him yet. She just really wants to be wanted by him. As my weird recap, I apologize. I'm done.
I think that the school year, the pandemic situation, and literally everything else going on in her life has finally gotten to Katrina.
Yes. I'm just going to start apologizing after everything I say because my brain doesn't work anymore.
It's okay. I will tell all of our listeners this. I apparently have made my cat angry. So he's decided to sit in the opposite side of the house and cry, no matter what I do for him. So there will probably be cat noises.
Hashtag cat noises.
Hashtag podcast cat. he is making himself heard, even though there's literally nothing I could do for him right now. Like, I've done everything. I don't understand his problem. Anyway, yeah, so these chapters. I feel like Mrs. Churchill dying, I think, happens towards the beginning of these chapters.
Yeah.
I don't remember if it happens before Emma goes to see Mrs. Bates, but it's kind of one of those situations where it's like Frank gets a notice saying, oh, hey, you need to come back now. And he goes back and then they hear that Mrs. Churchill has passed away.
Yeah. She had only survived, I think, 36 hours after he had got back originally. Mm-hmm. So he went back essentially the night of the Box Hill debacle. Mm-hmm. And then she only survived like a day and a half, maybe longer. And then they mm-hmm. got word that she had passed.
And so while the exact moment of her death isn't necessarily as important, the act of her death is actually extremely important for these chapters, because that is essentially what, like, triggers all of these other things to happen. So had Mrs. Churchill not died, we would not have gotten the confession of the engagement. We would not have gotten Emma and Harriet having this conversation about Mr. Knightley, and we would not have had Emma coming to the conclusion that she does at the end of these chapters, which is essentially that she is in love with Mr. Knightley,
question mark.
Slash, what have I created in Harriet?
Yes.
And I do want to really dive into her conversation with Harriet and, like, her thoughts about that whole situation when we get to those parts.
Yeah.
But, so, Emma goes to Mrs. Bates' house, and she goes initially to apologize to Miss Bates because she feels really bad.
I mean, does she go to apologize? She goes to kind of ingratiate herself a bit.
I feel like she thinks she's going to go apologize because she does feel bad. And the worst part is that she feels bad because Knightley made her feel bad.
Right.
Yeah. So she's like, okay, well, I'm going to go and fix this situation. So she goes. And I think it says even in there that it's like, this is the first time that, like, the words, oh, the ladies are in, doesn't, like, give her existential dread. Mm-hmm. But then she goes in and She doesn't actually apologize for what she said to Miss Bates, but at the same time, what she does is she just allows Miss Bates to continue doing what she normally does without interruption and without, like, critique. And she doesn't even seem to be, like, finding a way, like, constantly trying to find a way to get out of the situation, which is what she normally does.
Yeah.
So, on one hand, she's not actually apologizing, but on the other hand, she's just allowing Miss Bates to do what she does, which mm-hmm. was the initial critique, I guess. So it's like, I don't know. It's not really an apology, but it's also kind of something. It's something.
It's something, yeah. And Emma even notices when she gets there that Miss Bates is kind of, I don't want to say cold, but, like, she's more reserved than she normally mm-hmm. is with Emma. And it takes that not hearing Emma or seeing, like, an exasperated look on her face, which maybe she would have had in the past when Miss mm-hmm. Bates started talking, for her to, like, get going. And even Emma, like, responding directly mm-hmm. to what she was saying and showing that she is listening. And then it's like, oh, okay, everything's back to normal. All is forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Emma is here to be my friend.
Also, I think it helps that the topic of conversation is Jane Fairfax, and mm-hmm. we've seen again and again that Emma is trying, quote-unquote, to be a better friend to Jane, and we know that Emma knows about the situation with Miss Elton, and we also know that Emma doesn't like Miss Elton, so she probably sees what Miss Elton did to Jane as the terrible thing that it was, mm-hmm. so she's probably even more interested in hearing about all of these things. So she, let me put it this way. It was beneficial to Emma's situation that what Miss Bates had to talk about was something that was interesting to Emma. Because had it not been, I don't think this whole thing would have been nearly as good for Miss Bates. I don't think Miss Bates would have come out feeling better about her situation with Emma.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And specifically what Emma finds out is that essentially after Box Hill, like after that whole thing, that night, everybody was over at the Eltons. Jane, Miss Bates, and Mrs. the Elder, Mrs. Bates. All three of them were mm-hmm. there. And someone had come by, I guess, I don't know, Mr. Elton needed somebody to come by to get Mr. Elton because somebody's father is not well or, like, they need support. So they, like, came to, like, talk to him. And this is where they find out the gossip. Number one, that Frank left very suddenly and specifically mm-hmm. because Mrs. Churchill took a turn for the worse. So they hear that news. And so that's how that information is passed on to Emma. And then two, as soon, and Miss Bates makes it a point to say this to get the timeline because Emma does ask about this timeline. Once Jane Fairfax heard that Frank left to go back to Mrs. Churchill, she goes to Mrs. Elton and says, you know what? I will take that governess job because she wasn't going to before. Mm-hmm. She had declined it when they were at Donwell Abbey. She wasn't going to do it. And then after she heard Frank was going back, then she went and accepted it. And I was wondering why. Is it just like, was it either exasperation? Was it, all right, Frank Churchill, you need to make a real move. Like, I'm going to accept this now. So now it's the balls in your court to decide what you're going to do. Was she backing him into, like, a corner to, like, force him into, like, finally coming out and saying that they were engaged? Like, either we're going to get married or we're not, right? Mm-hmm. Or do you think maybe it was a bit of both?
So just for reader's point of view, Jane and Frank have been engaged since October.
Since Weymouth.
Now, this is, mm-hmm. yeah. So way before either one of them showed up. So this is, I think, even before our story starts. Because I think our story starts in, like, November or something like that. But I can't say that for certain. But yeah, they've been engaged for a long time. So I think that it is a little bit of, it's a little bit of both. It's a little bit of, hey, Frank, we need to, this is bad news. I can't wait any longer. Like, we need to do this. Also, like, dude, you made me angry. You've been making fun of me. You've been flirting with Emma. Like,
yeah.
We need to, yeah, like, this is enough. Like, enough is enough. Also, I wonder if it isn't a little bit of Jane thinking, well, we can't get married until Mrs. Churchill dies, and I just can't keep sitting here in this waiting position. So, like, I'm going to go off and be a governess until she dies. And then, yeah, we can totally come out with this situation. I think no matter what, it's a way of Jane. I think it's Jane taking control of her life.
Oh, I agree. It is for sure her taking control of her life. I don't know, though, that she would wait for Frank after taking a governess job. I feel like she's so mad and exasperated at this point that it's like, F you, Frank. You're not being a good fiance to me, and nobody knows we're engaged except us two, so no harm, no foul on me. I'm just going to go be a governess. You missed your chance. Good luck with your life.
See, I want to think that she would do that because, you know, like, female empowerment, but at the same time, at the time, it would have been really hard for her to say no if he came back after she was a governess because of the situation that it would put her in. Like, she would have more money. She'd be able to help her family. Yeah. So, I want to say she would just stick it to him and be like, no, F you. But at the same time, I feel like she would come back to him because it would help her situation so much.
Yeah. Although Miss Bates did tell Emma, this governess job she got is paying, woo, a lot of money. At which point, Emma has this great line, and I just want to read it. Ah, madam, if other children are at all like what I remember to have been myself, I should think 5 times the amount of what I have ever yet heard named as a salary on such occasions dearly earned. AKA people who take care of / teach children deserve a lot of money. Thank you, Jane Austen. Anyway, I just really liked that line. So yes, so Jane, it seems, is going to be making good money as a governess. They're really happy. And then the section ends with a conversation about the pianoforte and how Jane is just like, meh, about it when she leaves, right?
Which is why I really feel like, yeah, Frank is the one that got it. I don't think we got confirmation on that at all. Mm-mm. But the fact that Jane is just like, eh. And Miss Bates is like, oh yeah, like, we're totally going to have this pianoforte in our house. And nobody's going to play it because we don't play it. And, like, it's a pianoforte, so it's not like it's small.
Right. I mean, it's smaller than like a regular piano, but yeah.
It's not a grand piano.
For,
but
like,
still.
An older woman and a middle-aged woman to be stuck with this and, like, potentially have to move it or something, it would be difficult.
On the bright side, though, they could sell it if they could get it to probably, like, London, because I don't think anybody in Highbury would be buying it.
Well, I think the plan, and this is what Miss Bates alludes to at the end, is that they're going to wait for Colonel Campbell to come back and handle the situation.
Because I think she thinks that it is from him.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's Emma's apology tour with the Bates. Essentially, we just figure out that Jane has taken this governess position, but since taking it, she's been feeling really ill, and she's been having headaches, and she hasn't been feeling well, and
it's stress!
It is. Oh,
it's
it totally
intense
is.
Intense stress. Like, imagine being in this situation where you don't have a lot of options. It's either go work and make money or marry this guy, but the guy is being a fuckboy, and so you're just like, fuck it, I'm going to be a governess, but it's not really what you want to do. And it's just like, imagine that. I would be so stressed out. I'll blame Jane Fairfax. I'll blame her.
And in the annotated version, I don't know if it's this specific time that they're talking about Jane feeling terrible or if it's later in these sections, but essentially they boil it down to, while it's discussed as her being ill, like, you know, having headaches and feeling sick, it really is very much like a nervous thing. So it is stress, it's anxiety, it's all of that that we all see on a regular basis. And we don't get to not see our friends because we have headaches. We still have to go out and do stuff. But Jane is just, she's completely under the weather because she has so much to do. And she's actually so much under the weather that she delays going to her new governess position. So that comes after we hear about Mrs. Churchill's death. So it's kind of one of those things where it's like, okay, so is this coming out now? Are we gonna get engaged? Or is it because she's actually sick? Because it's also not quite when we find out about the engagement. It's kind of this weird, muddy time. So
I also, though, want to point out that Jane is seeing Mrs. Elton and Mrs. Perry and Mrs. Cole. Not seeing Emma specifically. And a big reason for that is, like, you know, there is, like, a little bit of rivalry there and probably also a little bit of shame because, one, she's kept this from literally everybody, the secret engagement. But, two, she's been watching Frank flirt with Emma on several occasions and be near her. And it's like, I want to talk about this. It doesn't have to be now. It can be later. But do you think this was like a plan they concocted to throw everyone off the fact that they were secretly engaged and like Frank is going to flirt with Emma to like throw people off? Or is this like just in Frank's head that like, I'm just going to do this and whatever because I don't care. Frank or I don't know. It's so weird.
So I don't know. It's hard to tell if Jane was in on it because she is just naturally quiet. And then you also think about it this way, that most of the time that we see Emma and Frank quote-unquote flirting, they're either alone, or at the very least they're not around Jane, or they're in a situation where the Westons have put them together. So like the ball and at dinners.
Yeah, so. I was thinking specifically of that one day when they were playing with the alphabet tiles.
That was Frank being an a-hole.
I know, I totally agree, but like, and I know like Jane was already upset about other things, but maybe like seeing him and Emma buddy-buddy and like looking over things and laughing together about words and like whispering about words, and like maybe that was adding fuel to that fire. And maybe also it wouldn't have been a far cry in Jane's mind to see someone like Emma with Frank Churchill, right? Someone of a high class, someone who comes from a family that does have some money. Like maybe Jane sees this and is like, oh, these two are a natural fit. And like maybe subconsciously she does see like the Westons trying to like put them together. Right? So, I don't know.
I don't think that they did it on purpose. I don't think that Jane agreed. No, I'm not saying
it's not on purpose, but she would still feel that way.
Oh, no, but what I'm saying is that, like, because you asked, oh, did they agree to this thing where it's like Frank will, you know, throw people off the scent? I don't think that that's the case. I'm sure, like, when Frank showed up in Highbury, when Jane was there, I'm sure he had a conversation like, hey, we can't let people know because, you know, we've been keeping this a secret. We need to continue to keep it a secret until my aunt dies, but we can't let people know. And then I think everything else is just Frank being a jerk because
I don't think he's a good person. And like,
I don't think so either.
I know like everybody's happy that this all works out for Jane, but like, I don't know. I know she's in a difficult position. I know the times are like largely affecting it, but like, I wish she could have just stuck it to him. I feel like he's getting away with a lot.
I hope that Jane marries Frank, takes his money, helps her family, and then, like, buys a house in Ireland, and she just lives there near her best friend, and Frank can do whatever the heck he wants in Enscombe. And they're, like, married by title alone. And she just gets to live her life with her best friend with money and helping her family. And maybe has some side boys.
She must love him, though.
I hope so. I hope that they're, like, she actually loves him and cares. But at the same time, I hope that she's just, like, at this point, just so frustrated that she's just going to take him for all he's worth.
I hope Frank sees her accepting this governess position as like this wake up call. Like, I almost lost the girl that I loved so much that I have been secretly engaged to her and chose her despite her not having like money or connections like blood, like through blood, right? Mm-hmm. And like, I hope that's a wake up call for him and he just spends the rest of his life making up this whole year period to her. He spends his whole life making up, treating her this way for basically a year.
I'm okay with that too. Okay with that too. Yeah, I just, I like, if we're gonna talk about fuckboys and Jane Austen, Frank Churchill is the fuckiest fuckboy.
He's the fuckiest fuckboy.
Like, so from the very beginning, we knew that something was gonna happen with Frank Churchill. We were super, like, he was sketchy from the beginning, and like, we weren't quite sure why. And of course, everybody who's already read this novel is like, oh yeah, he's sketchy. But no, like, remember, this is our first time reading. So we're like, he's sketchy. I don't get it. Like, there's something weird about him. He's too nice. He's too accommodating. What is up?
Do you know what it is? Do you know what it is? Do you know what makes Frank Churchill the worst? Mm. Is he's not a villain. He's not like Wickham or Willoughby, mm-hmm. right? Who is like outwardly villainous and does mm-hmm. villainous shit. Like, Frank's not a villain, so Frank should know better. Like, we should have higher expectations of him because he isn't out there trying to purposefully sabotage.
Right, and that's the point. He isn't purposefully doing this. Like, remember, he was going to confess this to Emma. That's what I think he was going to confess when he first had to go back to Enscombe.
Yeah.
When he's okay. like, oh, you should know. And it's like, I think he was hinting that, oh, you should have picked up that I'm engaged or that I, you know, am with another, like, I should be with another woman. But Emma is Emma and doesn't get it. And I think that the fact that she doesn't get it is like, oh, well, if she's not seeing it, then, okay, nobody else is. Maybe I'll just kind of lean into this whole idea of, like, people maybe thinking I'm interested in Emma to hide that, maybe. So maybe he is not quite as dickish as we thought. Maybe he's just like, maybe he thought that he was being too obvious and he needed to hide it a little bit more. I don't know.
I think the day when they were like playing with the alphabet letters, he just got a little too big for his britches.
Oh no, he was being the fuckiest fuckboy ever, you know? There. Like, I'm mad at him.
Look at me with this like cute girl, but I'm secretly engaged to this girl. He's just like living it up. He's like having his cake and eating it too, and he's like,
no, you know what it is? He's leaning harder into the whole flirting with Emma because Knightley caught him. Because Knightley knows that something is off. So he has to lean even further into the whole flirting with Emma because he spilled the beans before and the only person who picked up on it was Knightley. Because if he didn't lean hard into flirting with Emma, then Knightley would probably start to put things together. Because Knightley knew that the only person who could have told Frank about Mr. Perry's carriage was somebody in the Bates family, and the only person it really could have been would have been Jane, because Miss Bates said that she didn't tell anybody, or she wouldn't have written to Frank.
Maybe. So I was thinking like Frank picks up something between Knightley and Emma, maybe, because Knightley's always around, and like he's, you know, and he's like, I'm gonna flirt with Emma just to like stab at you, Knightley, like.
No, I think it's because Frank, well, because that's one of the reasons why Jane is pissed at Frank. It's because Frank essentially told everybody that she has been writing to him, and that's a no-no. So and Knightley puts that together. He's putting that together. So I think that Frank leans into flirting with Emma to make it seem like he's not interested in Jane, or that he doesn't have this connection with Jane. And that's probably why he uses Dixon, because he knows.
Yeah. Oh, I picked up on that.
Yeah. So then, like, then Jane will get upset and Knightley will see that. And then maybe he'll be like, oh, well, Frank doesn't actually have this connection with Jane. But little does he know, Knightley is smarter than he is.
Yes.
Probably because he has 10 years on him.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that that's why, I think that was Frank getting caught in the lie is what really screwed up this whole thing. And that's, yeah, because Jane got mad. He had to flirt hard with Emma. And Knightley kind of started to figure it out. And then Jane got even more mad. And then to top that off, she got the offer for the governess, and because she was so upset, she's just like, okay, I'm going to put this ultimatum out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was an ultimative move for sure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She was like, you're either in this or you're not. I'm not waiting for you anymore, Frank Churchill.
And you know what you need to do with an ultimatum? With an ultimato, you need to eat it or throw it.
Oh.
Sorry.
Hashtag dad jokes.
No, I think I stole that from Will and Grace. I'm not going to lie. Anyway, because I think it was one of them is like, oh yeah, an ultimato. You mean an ultimatum? Yeah, an ultimato. You either have to eat it or throw it.
Not going to lie, that totally sounds like something our old high school choir teacher would have said. Like, that's what popped into my brain when you said that. I'm like, I feel like I've heard him say this before. Like,
he probably also stole it from Will and Grace.
I would not be surprised.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, I think you're right. I don't think Frank is specifically being villainous.
No.
He's just being a jerk.
Yes.
And I want... That starts to make me wonder whether or not he was being, like, purposefully being a jerk before he got caught in his lie.
Yeah. Again,
like, he thought Emma knew what was going on.
Yeah, I think when we reread Emma, because I think we kind of have to now, mm-hmm. we should look into that specifically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, don't get me wrong, he is still a fuckboy.
No, he's a total fuckboy.
But...
he's not evil. Yeah. He's not no. Willoughby or Wickham.
No, they have, like, I'm not going to lie, I don't remember the specifics of Willoughby, which don't tell me because we're going to get to that. But Wickham specifically, like, he does villainous things, obviously. Like, the villainy in Wickham is that, like, he was going to use Georgiana for, you know, villainous purposes. He essentially does the same thing to Lydia. He doesn't care about the fact that it's going to ruin her reputation. Frank doesn't do that. Like, Frank is engaged to this woman, and the reason why they're not coming out about it is because of his aunt. Because yeah. His situation is very, very,
essentially, probably, if he were to marry Harriet, his aunt would be like, fine, you get nothing.
Exactly. No, you mean Jane.
Yeah, sorry, Jane.
Yeah. No, but that's what I was trying to say. It's very, I can't think of the word. But yeah, if he were to have married Jane, he wouldn't get any money, and that would do neither one of them any good. So they get into this engagement, knowing that they can't do anything until, at the very least, Mrs. Churchill dies. So
this is a recurring theme. Caca.
So yeah, there's nothing like villainous in that. And then when he gets caught lying, he starts being a jerk, mm-hmm. and a fuckboy, and yeah, again, there's nothing really villainous there. He's not doing it specifically to hurt Jane or Emma, and I think that we know that he's not doing this to hurt Emma, I think, is when we really, like, we see that when he tries to confess it to Emma, or is like, oh, hey, Emma, you must see this. I think that shows us that he's not doing this to hurt Emma.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's doing it to hurt Jane. I think he was just trying to cover up the fact that he messed up and let stuff slip. So he's not very clever.
No,
he's not a very clever man.
Well, and even like the whole idea behind, hey, we can't get married till my aunt dies, who's to say that she would have, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure Frank knows her health situation better than anyone else, but like, still, like, what if she hadn't? What if she had lived like another 10 years, right? Jane's not gonna wait that long.
Well, so that's the thing, though, is that I wonder if they weren't, like, you know, young and in love and are just like, well, Jane, you can just keep doing what you're doing at the Campbells. They're not forcing you to become a governess, so why not just keep doing what you're doing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, okay, so I don't think Emma, in terms of the book, I don't think the book Emma has a villain. I don't think Frank Churchill is the villain. He's just a fuckboy.
Yeah.
Unless Emma is the villain. To be fair, so let's discuss that question later as we move on, because that actually comes. Yeah.
Okay, this is our essay question for the end. Is who is the villain of Emma? That's our topic. Okay.
Okay.
We said it here. We're gonna do that, guys. All right, let's move on to, like, our next big discussion, because I feel like we've really hashed out Frank and Jane really well.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the next really big thing that happens that rocks Emma's world, which is Harriet's confession, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, because essentially the whole first chunk of this section is putting the pieces together for the announcement that Frank and Jane have been engaged since October. And so that takes us through Mrs. Bates meeting, Emma and Jane not seeing each other, communicating, and then the Westons telling Emma that Frank has been engaged to Jane, and Mrs. Weston essentially apologizing to Emma for thinking that she put her in a situation where she would be upset. And Emma's just like, I don't love him, so it's totally okay. And we're just like, uh-huh, sure, and moving on. So then Harriet comes over, and she's heard the news. And so Emma thinks that Frank and Harriet have something going on. And...
I'm sorry. Sorry. Just like the conversation we were just having before about, like, Frank, like, thinking that Emma knew that him and Jane were together. It's like, Frank, you're giving Emma a lot of credit here, dude.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Because she is seeing things that aren't there. Because, like, the whole Harriet-Frank thing, I'm just like, girl, where are you pulling this from? Like, how? How? Like, and Harriet is like that, too. Emma's like, what do you mean you're not in love with Frank? I've seen all of these things. And Harriet's like, what are you talking about? Like, I have showed zero interest in him. And I'm also sitting here thinking, she has shown zero interest in him. Like, why are you making all of this up?
Yeah.
Yeah. Every time I read Emma saying something about Harriet and Frank, I was just like, oh my God. What the F? And it was just exasperating.
Yeah.
I can't tell. But yeah. So Harriet was essentially asking Emma's kind of almost permission to kind of like have a crush. Yes. Have a crush on this guy that she has a crush on. And Emma's like, yeah, sure. No, go ahead. Because for some reason she thinks it's Frank, which is stupid. Yeah. Which is stupid. Yeah. Turns out it's Mr. Knightley, which makes so much more sense because Mr. Knightley was very nice to Harriet. He danced with her when nobody else would. He was out walking around with her at Box Hill. He has said very nice things about her. Emma, stop making up things in your head and start paying attention to what's actually happening around you. Yep. So Harriet has a crush on Mr. Knightley, and Harriet thinks that Mr. Knightley kind of has a thing for her too, because of these things that he's done to her. And she has mentioned those things to Emma. And Emma was like, oh yeah, no, he totally has a thing for you, thinking that she was talking about Frank. So mm-hmm. Now that Emma knows that she was talking about Mr. Knightley, she's starting to kind of go back and start thinking of all of these things. And she is really thrown for a loop because she's like, I don't understand how you could think that Mr. Knightley would like you.
And I don't understand how you think that you could be good at... She doesn't say that, but, like, in her mm-hmm. brain, she's like, you are not good enough for Knightley. Mm-hmm. And, like, Harriet's like, Emma, you're the one who gave me the confidence to feel like I could get... Because you said it's straight... Like, crazier things have happened, so... And, like, mm-hmm. look at Jane Fairfax and Frank Churchill. That could be me and Knightley, right?
Mm-hmm. And... Emma's inner thoughts about what is happening between Harriet and Knightley, what she thinks, and almost pretty much what she says, too, is so rude. Like, oh my gosh. Like, she is the worst to Harriet after finding this out. She's like, how dare you? Who do you think you are? You don't deserve this. Like, this would put you way above your status. And it's like, Knightley and Frank Churchill are kind of along the same status line a little bit. Like, they're both well off. They both are higher in society, blah, blah, blah. And there was absolutely no problem with Frank and Harriet, but there's a huge problem with Knightley and Harriet, and Emma doesn't really start to put that together.
Well, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but I feel at one point Harriet is like, how could you think I'd be good enough for Frank? He's of a much higher, he's a much higher prize. Like, there, no way could I ever be with Frank, right? But Knightley, on the other hand, that seems more realistic for someone like me. I don't know. I don't know. I forgot the reasons why she was saying that, but like, she made that comparison. She thinks Frank is like even higher than Knightley. So
yeah, no, she totally says that to Emma. She's like, how do you think I would be okay with Frank, but I'm not okay for Knightley?
Yeah.
I don't understand why you think that Knightley is a bad match while Frank would be an okay match.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's because Emma likes Knightley. And the only person Emma could ever see Knightley marrying is herself. And she pretty much says that. She's pretty much like Knightley can't marry unless he marries me. And I felt like when she said that, it felt less like he needs to marry me because we're in love, and more of a, I'm the only person that's acceptable to be his wife.
It's weird. I don't think she likes I don't think she's in love with Knightley. And I feel like I've said this other times throughout the book, like, it just doesn't feel like she loves him and wants to be with him. It's more like she wants to be his favorite. And that's, I find those two things very different. Like, it's one thing to be in love with someone and want to be with them. And it's another thing to, like, want to be the only number one in that person's life. So that person can't marry, because if that person marries, then I get kicked out of the picture. Because Emma doesn't want to get married at all. She says this over and over, but it's like Mr. Knightley is her reserve, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what it is. It's like Mr. Knightley is her reserve. She doesn't want to be with him, but if she has to be with someone, she's going to be with him, but nobody else can be with him, and he can't be with anybody else. It's just weird.
That's what I was saying with, like, I feel like she flat out is like, he can't have a wife, but if he's going to have a wife, it has to be me, and it can only be me. Not because she loves him. I don't feel like she loves him. I feel like we're starting to see more of him loving her. Like, because there have been a couple of times in the book that there are very tender moments between them. And I feel like Emma appreciates him. Like, she sees that he's a good guy. Like, she notices that he's cute. Like, she did at the ball. And, you know, like, she loves the fact that he comes over all the time. And, like, sits with her and her father. Like, she says at one point, like, if he and Harriet were to get married, that he would no longer come over to Hartfield and would no longer, like, she wouldn't see him regularly and everything like that. But it doesn't feel like love.
Maybe it will in this last section that we read, but as of right now, it definitely does not feel that way. I don't feel that way. And, like, even, because I know I keep comparing this to Clueless because it's all I got, but, like, even in Clueless, like, you see Cher and Paul Rudd, like, I say Paul Rudd because I forget. Josh. I just remembered finally. How many episodes are we into this? Okay. You see Cher and Josh, like, but they're, like, kind of cutesy, like, flirty with each other, you know? And then she comes to the realization at the end, oh my gosh, I love Josh, right? So, like, I'm waiting for that to happen in Emma.
I think that's this moment. I think that's supposed to be this moment.
It doesn't feel like it, though.
Because isn't that the whole thing with, like, Cher starts to think that Ty has a thing for... No,
Ty straight up says, I like Josh. Josh danced with me at the place. Yeah. He, like, is near me.
That's this moment.
Yeah. Like, that... So, between Cher and Ty, it's the same with Emma and Harriet.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I think in Clueless, their fight is more obvious than it is in Emma, because you still have to be, like, polite. Society, you can't say everything that you think. But I feel like the realization in Clueless is more love based than the realization here in Emma, which is more like, sense of propriety, almost.
I feel like Emma sees Knightley as a possession of hers, almost, yeah. her and her family.
It's her favorite teddy, and nobody else can play mm-hmm. with her favorite
yeah,
teddy.
Yeah, it, I think that she sees Knightley as something that she owns, that he's hers, but not in a love kind of way.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she's still like, oh, I was in love with Frank Churchill. You know, like, I don't know. It doesn't feel like love to me.
No.
Whereas in Clueless, it did, because she's like, I think I'm remembering the scene correctly, is that she's just like sitting there and we have like internal monologue. And then she actually like dawns on her and she's like, oh, I'm in love with him.
Yeah. And like, yeah. She's like all sad walking around at night. And then the fountain comes up behind her, like the light bulb moment.
Yeah. 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 I think that's supposed to be this moment, or at least in these chapters, and it doesn't happen the same way.
I'm hoping something else will happen in this last section that will just be like, okay, finally. Because if you remember in our early episodes, you know, there's like kind of a lot of bickering between them, mm-hmm. and like they have this weird sexual tension, mm-hmm. and then that sexual tension kind of goes away. I felt like there was some sexual tension, at least on Knightley's side, there was sexual tension.
That's the thing, though, is that, like, I can see it from Knightley's point of view. Yeah. Like, I can see that Knightley has this thing for Emma, which, again, I'm going to bring up the fact that he is, like, 12 yeah, years older yeah, than her yeah. and has known her since she was a child and watched her grow up, so it's a little creepy. But I can see that there is something there.
He doesn't start doing that until Emma is of a proper age. Like, I think his feelings for Emma develop from, oh, this is a young person that I admire and she's like cute and spunky, to, oh, this is a young woman and I'm starting to fall in love with her.
I really hope that when he was younger and when she was younger, it was, oh, it's my sister.
Yeah.
Oh, she's my sister. Oh, yeah. She's my sister. And then it's like, oh, she's not my sister. She's yeah. definitely like, she's not my sister. She's not my, she's only my sister-in-law. And I'm falling for the yeah. woman that she is.
That, yeah, that is exactly. Yeah, I agree. Like that right. is what
it's
he sees.
It's still kind of creepy in my thoughts, but I'm trying. Yeah.
It's Regency yeah. England. It's okay. I'm kidding. It's not. It's never okay. It doesn't matter what time you live in. It's not okay.
It's still a little creepy.
Yeah.
But I see it from Knightley's point of view. I can see how Knightley has a thing for Emma and how he's just not acting on it because, I don't know, he's just not. But I don't see it from Emma.
You know what? Maybe he's not acting on it because, you know, he does think it's like kind of creepy. It's like, I've known this girl since she was 12 years old and now she's a woman and I shouldn't be having these thoughts about her. No, Knightley, no. Bad Knightley, bad. But also, I'm going to do it anyway because
it could also be because maybe he's thinking like she has the potential to find somebody else and to go someplace else. And he's known her his whole life. And it's like less of a, oh, this is creepy. And more of a like, should I keep her here kind of a thing, you know? Like, she has the potential to go and do more and be more and, like...
But she doesn't want to.
No, she doesn't.
And she wants to really be doesn't. With her dad, like, all the time.
So, at the same time, Knightley knows that doing stuff like that and, like, getting away and doing that will do her better.
Yeah.
And he wants her to be better. So, I don't know.
I don't know.
All I have to say is that, like... I'm very much looking forward to reading an adaptation where it's through Knightley's point of view because we've already realized that that's the better point of view. Also, I want to know more about, like, why Knightley started hating on Frank before he caught him in a lie. I want to know if there was something else there that we didn't initially
get. Probably because he's, like, young and rich and everybody likes him. And it's like, he's the young buck coming to town.
No, you know what it is? It's because Knightley is good friends with the Westons, and Frank was, like, yanking Mr. Weston's chain so much about coming to visit. Yeah. That's probably what it is. Because remember, Knightley was all like, oh yeah, if he was gonna come, he would just come already.
Yeah.
I bet that's what it was.
But do you also still, like, think that maybe Mrs. Churchill played a bigger role in that?
Probably.
Preventing him to come?
In that argument, way back when, Emma was still in the right about, like, Frank has to rely on his aunts and uncle because if he takes one step out of place, they can just write him off. So, like, Emma was correct, but I can see why Knightley was frustrated with Frank because he was hurting Mr. Weston, who is Mr. Knightley's friend.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I do think that Emma was in the right and Mr. Knightley should have considered that. But I can see why, like, so I think that that's that initial tension between Knightley and Churchill.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But so, despite the fact that we don't see this romance or this love from Emma to Mr. Knightley, we start to see Emma's love of Harriet diminish because Emma has realized that she has created a monster in that she has taken Harriet, who had nothing, not even a name, and brought her up to believe that she was worth somebody like Mr. Knightley. And on one hand, I'm like, well, you should just deserve to be with somebody you're in love with. But I also understand the social norms of the time and how essentially it goes down to this. So, like, at the very beginning, Mr. Knightley was like, Emma, you're doing Harriet an injustice by letting her believe that she's worthy of somebody like Mr. Elton, when really Mr. Martin would have been a great marriage for her. But at the same time, like, listening to Harriet talk about Mr. Knightley, like, she likes him. She, like, legit likes him because he's a nice guy who treats her well.
She likes him for all the right reasons.
Yeah, like, she isn't there like, oh, well, he's, you know, he'll raise me up in society. No, it's she legit likes him. Like,
it's heartbreaking. Because
he treats her well. Yeah. But at the same time, so you say it's heartbreaking.
So what I think is heartbreaking is that, going off of your point, like, Emma has raised Harriet's expectations up to be like, you're worthy of Mr. Elton. You're worthy of Frank Churchill. And so then by that, Harriet thinks, okay, then if I'm worthy of them, I'm definitely worthy of Mr. Knightley. But Emma takes that away from her.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's, I don't blame Harriet for being thrown off. It's like, wait, they're the same. I don't understand. That's the part that's heartbreaking for me.
Yes.
It's like the friendship between the two of them and, like, hearing your friend build you up. And then you get to the point where it's like, oh, I am starting to believe this of myself now. And she snatches it away. Right.
Well, it's also heartbreaking because the whole time Emma's like, no, Harry, you're worth being loved and being treated well and having the guy, like, be nice to you and everything like that. And then Mr. Knightley is doing all of these things that Emma said Harriet was worthy of. And then now she's like, no, you're not worthy of that. But it's like, Harriet's like, no, I do deserve to be with somebody who I actually care about and who treats me well. And then Emma's like, oh, no, well, you are, but not this guy. And this is the only guy that's actually treated her that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because Frank hasn't, and neither did Mr. Elton. So it's almost as if Emma is telling Harriet, oh, yeah, you're worthy, but you're only actually worthy of these guys who treat you like crap.
Yeah.
Not that Frank really treated her like crap, but he also really wasn't interested.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she wasn't interested in him, so it was okay.
No, right. Yeah. But the point is like, Emma's like, you're worthy of all of this. And there's a guy who treats you like you know, like I say you should be treated. But no, not that guy. That's not actually what I meant you're worthy of, so...
You can't have it's that really one. That one's actually mine.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he treats you really well? Well, that one's mine. And it's just really, I feel really bad for Harriet because Harriet really, really does actually like Knightley.
Yeah.
You know? Because he does treat her really well. And I think that there's growth there between him and her as well, because at the beginning, Knightley was like, I mean, Harriet's okay, but she's not great. And then by the end, he starts to realize, oh, no, she is a lot better than I thought she was.
He's still not in love with her.
Oh, no,
he's not. I don't think he ever could be, but like...
I think he has more respect for her.
Definitely does.
Yeah. Yeah, because wasn't it like when she refused Mr. Martin, he was saying something like, Mr. Martin was afraid that asking Harriet was asking above his position, but Knightley was afraid that Martin asking Harriet was actually asking below his position.
Yeah.
And now I feel like he's starting to realize that that was too harsh of a critique of Harriet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not saying that he's in love, but I'm saying that maybe he's built a little bit of a friendship. Which is great, because now Emma doesn't have a friendship with her, so... Psh, because Emma is pissed.
My hope and prediction is that Mr. Knightley is gonna get Mr. Martin to come back around because he sees, like, how much more improved Harriet is, and like, all right, Harriet's a smart girl now. Let me bring Mr. Martin back into the picture and put them together. And then Mr. Knightley is really the matchmaker extraordinaire of this whole book.
That would be adorable. But also, like, so you know how I was talking about how, like, Mr. Knightley treats her really well? Mr. Martin treated her really well, too. So now that she's,
and she
like...
like him. Yeah.
Yeah. And now that she's, like, legit falling for a guy who treats her really well, I think that she'll see that if she comes across Mr. Martin again and be like, oh... I did really like him. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So I think that this is also a growth moment for Harriet to realize not only that she shouldn't be listening to Emma because Emma doesn't know what the hell is going on, but I think that she might also start to realize what she deserves, what she actually deserves, has nothing to do with status and completely how people treat her.
Mm-hmm.
Because... like, again, Elton and Churchill, like, Emma's all like, oh, go ahead, you know, you're worthy of them because of their status, but they didn't treat her well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, she's starting to realize that it's not just about status, it's about how you're treated. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, good on Harriet. Let's see where that goes. But Emma is freaking out because she's like, I've created a monster.
Yes.
She's going after my man.
Ah, Emma.
And I mean, it's true. And at the same time, Knightley warned her at the beginning, is like, you're going to create a monster. And then she's like, you don't know what you're talking about. And now she's just like, crap, I've created a monster.
Oh, that I never laid eyes on her, ugh, is what she says.
She's so mean. Like,
at least she says it to herself.
Well, so here's the thing. Like, I feel like I would be less upset with Emma the way she's talking about Harriet and the way she's thinking about Harriet, if there had been that bigger realization that she's in love with Knightley,
yeah,
and not this whole idea of, oh, well, if she marries Knightley, then I'm going to lose him. He mm-hmm. won't be mine anymore. Because that feels selfish.
Yes.
Whereas love isn't necessarily selfish.
Right.
So I feel like I would forgive Emma more about the way what she's saying and what she's thinking about Harriet if there had been that bigger... the bigger realization, but there isn't that, so
yeah, I agree. Well, we still have one more section left, so
we'll
see what happens.
We will, and it's the end. We're finally getting to the end of Emma, thank goodness, because I really want to watch Clueless the more I talk about it.
I want to watch some of these Emma adaptations now that I know the whole story.
I do too. I'm really looking forward to watching the 2021 because A, it's gorgeous, and B, I hear Anya Taylor-Joy is freaking amazing as Emma.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But just so everybody is aware, what we're going to do is we have one more episode specifically about Emma, and then we're going to have our overall review of Emma as a total. So we're going to have two more episodes where we talk about the book. And then we're going to watch these adaptations and we're going to talk about those. So you'll have those to look forward to and hear us not only chat about how amazing these, like the 2020 adaptation is and everything like that, but we'll finally get to watch Clueless.
Clueless! I'm so excited.
Yeah, and we'll have more information about those as we get a little bit closer, but just giving everybody a heads up.
Yep.
So those are coming. We will be watching adaptations. So I think that that's all for us today.
Mm-hmm.
One more shout out to Well Here We Are podcast for giving us our chapter breakdowns. Find them on Twitter and on Instagram at Well Here Pod. And check out our socials, Twitter and Instagram. Check out Frolic. Follow them at On Frolic on Instagram. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Whip. Beyond Measure is hosted by me, Katrina Mayer.
And me, Elle Kammerer. We're part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
Our music was composed by Shane Ivers, and our artwork was created by the beautiful and talented Katie Keneally.
You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts, or you can find us on our website at withbeyondmeasure.com, or follow us on Instagram for all of our updates, memes, and just fun stuff. Our handle is at WBMPodcast. I'm going to say that again. It's WBMPodcast.